chapter 8. Looking at one verse there, and then we'll be looking at chapter 9 as well. Speaking concerning the relationships that being a member of one of the Lord's churches gives us, there's privileges and opportunities and responsibilities. In 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 4, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 4, with the gift of testimony, that's conversion, but meant to gain is for me, of a many to this, and churches, a ship, a command of these churches, a ship, a special, a special, and a facility, which to minister to their truth, both will be great. While I'm understanding is verse that we do, conveys the idea of tending to. So ministering to the saints would be tending to the saints. Conveys the idea of caring for. So it would be caring for the saints. Conveys the idea of looking after. Looking after the saints. And this, again, this ought to be our life. It also carries the meaning, of course, to be of help, to be of assistance, to be of service. The very word, ministering, or ministry, or minister, the very word implies the need of others. There would be no need to minister if people did not have needs. So the very word implies that people have needs. Every single one of us, whether we want to share it or not, every single one of us have needs of all kinds, a variety of needs. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1, he said, "We have this ministry." Now, he was speaking there of the gospel ministry. He was speaking of the office of a minister or a God-called man. But in those words, we have this ministry. There is an application. Now, again, we realize that Paul is, in that case, speaking of the gospel ministry. But there is an application to all the saved. All the saved have a ministry. Every person here, our life is to be a life of ministry. So every child of God, they have a ministry. That being so, we ought to look upon others with the eye of ministry. A lot of marriages would be a lot better off if husbands and wives would look at each other with the eye of ministry. In fact, that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be with all of us. We should look upon others with the eye of ministry. In other words, looking for opportunities. Looking for opportunities to minister. Now, in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 1 and 2, Paul again refers to the ministering of the saints. And then he went on to say, basically, it's not necessary for me to urge you in this matter of ministry. And he went on to say in verse 2, because you're willing to do this. You've shown a readiness to do this, and you have been zealous in this matter. And God's people ought to be willing to minister. God's people ought to be ready, and they ought to be zealous in the ministering to the saints. Because it is this ministering that elevates our life. It is this ministering that enhances our life and really gives dignity to to an individual's life. Notice in Mark chapter 10, Mark chapter 10, verse 43 and verse 44. But so shall it, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. Not talking about the office. Shall be your servant. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. A man does not think that way, but that's the Lord's pattern. The chiefest of all is the one who serves others. Our life, again, is to be a ministry. When this ministering to the saints is done in the right spirit, and when it is done for the right motives, there is a great blessing. And again, it enhances one's life. Notice in Matthew 25, very familiar passage. Again, the assumption is that it is done in the right spirit with a proper motive. Jesus, speaking in verse 35, said, "For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." So our ministering to others, our service to others, should be done as unto Jesus Christ. And when it is done in a right spirit and for a right motive, that is how the Lord views it. As it is done unto Christ. So in other words, we are to view ministering as an opportunity, as the privilege of doing something unto Christ. Don't just look at it as doing something for brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. Look at it as an opportunity to do unto Christ. Because again, if it's done in the right spirit and for the right motive, that is how the Lord views it. This individual who so ministers, though they may not be considered by fellow saints as the chiefest, they are. They are the chiefest. They are the best. They are the most faithful. So we want to look at the act of ministry. And then we want to look, may not get there tonight, but the opportunity and the privilege and the responsibility that exists in the church for this ministering to the saints. First of all, consider the priority of ministry. Again, there is a sense in which every child of God ought to carry forth Christ's mission. Christ's mission, to simplify it, was simply a life of ministry. That's what he did. Everywhere he went, he ministered. He served others. He assisted others. He helped others. And in that sense, we ought to carry forth Christ's mission, which was a life of ministry. Notice Jesus speaking in Matthew 20, verses 25 through verse 28. But Jesus called them unto him and said, "Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister." We've already read this in the other gospel account. But then notice, "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as," here's our example, "even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life," and you can, in very important words there, "and to give." You cannot minister without giving. And I'm not talking about giving money or even material possessions. But in order to minister, you have to give something. Time, yourself. Jesus Christ came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom, speaking of his death, of course, for many. Now, from this, again, we see that he who is the chiefest is the one who serves. Jesus Christ came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. So life is not about being ministered unto. That's not what it's about. Now, in our age of entitlements, that is the attitude of most people. What can others do for me? But that is not to be our attitude. That is not to be our spirit. What can others do for me? Our attitude and spirit ought to be to minister, not to be ministered to. That is, what can I do to minister to others? And again, one must be willing to give of themselves. They must be willing to give of their time, their resources, etc. But as church members, we're not a member of Home Baptist Church to be ministered unto. We are members of Home Baptist Church to minister to others. And that is why when individuals get all bent out of shape because they do not feel that so-and-so did enough, they've got a wrong attitude. They've got a wrong spirit about it. It reveals much. We're not here to be ministered to. We're here to minister. Now, consider the conditions of ministry. Notice in John chapter 13, Christ, of course, is our example. He's our pattern. He's our model. When it comes to ministering, when it comes to ministering to the saints, there is no greater example. There is no greater model than Jesus Christ. And you can go all through the Gospels and you see the various ways that Jesus ministered. And in all those ways, he is our example. But here in John chapter 13, we again see the apostles. They're there on the night of the Passover. Begin reading with verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, speaking of the cross, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. Now, this is marvelous. This is the Creator of the world. And he rises from supper, lays aside his outer garments, takes a towel, and girds himself, prepares himself to do something. And he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then notice verse 12 through 17. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was sat down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Do you know what I've just done? Well, you washed our feet. Oh, it's much more than that. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. That is, you are not greater than I am, and I have stooped to wash your feet. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, if you know what I am saying, happy are ye if you do them. So there's happiness in serving. That's not the reason we're to serve, however. Notice verse 15. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Christ ministered. So this ministering is a manifestation of Christ's likeness. When we serve others, when we minister to others in a right spirit and for the right motive, we are manifesting the Spirit of Christ. We are manifesting a Christ-likeness. Jesus is our example. There are several things here. We see that he was observant, and he was aware of a need. Now, the washing of the feet was something reserved for the servants of the household, but obviously it had not been done. And Jesus was observant. Now, if we're going to minister to others, we have to be observant. We have to observe others. This requires that we get beyond ourselves. The reason a lot of times people do not know the needs of others is because they do not observe. Jesus was observant. Being observant, he was aware of a need. Now, we need to be observant. We need to be aware that there are needs. Again, to do this, you have to get beyond self. You have to get beyond your own little world. Again, most people today, they have a little clique that they're concerned about, and everyone else they don't worry about. But you have to get beyond that. You have to get beyond your little world. And we see that Jesus was willing to put himself, he's observant, he's aware of a need, and now he is willing to put himself in a position to serve. Now, you and I can observe, and you and I can be aware of a need, but that is not where it is to stop. We now must put ourselves in a position to serve. And this is what he did in verse 4 and 5. He rose from the supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself, poured water into a basin. He's now in a position to wash their feet. And he has put himself. He's put himself in that position. Now again, this requires thoughtfulness. It requires consideration of others. Again, it necessitates that one move beyond themselves. But we see something else here in Christ's example, and that is there was humility. Here is the Creator, God, washing the dirty feet of the apostles. That's humility. He's not exercising authority over them. He's in a position of authority. But he's not exercising authority. He's become the servant. He has taken the lowest office. There's humility. If we're going to minister to others, again, we get back to Philippians chapter 2. We have to consider others better than ourselves. And if we consider others better than ourselves, then there's nothing beneath us as far as ministering to them. So there has to be humility. This humility was manifested in his willingness and in his readiness to stoop and to do what was necessary. Now, if you're going to minister to others, if you're going to be of help to others, you have to do those things which help and not hinder. A lot of people, they want to help, but they really don't want to help. They want to do what they want to do, whether it's a help to you or not. It may be a hindrance to you. But in the name of helping, they're going to do it. That's not ministering. Ministering is to do what is necessary. Not what we want to do necessarily, but what they need. So he manifested his willingness and readiness to stoop to do what was necessary. And then we read there in verse 5, he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Again, this was the lowest, this was the office of the lowest servant. Jesus is our example of ministering. Another example of ministering, of course, is in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Very good example of not ministering. A very good example of ministering. There in Luke chapter 10. Let's turn there. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 35. Now, the priest, we all know the parable. The priest and the Levite, for whatever reason, were not willing to put themselves in a position to help the man who had fallen victim, the thieves. In fact, they went out of their way to make sure they didn't put themselves in a position to be of help. They both passed by on the other side. But the Samaritan in verse 33, but a certain Samaritan as he journeyed came where he was. He did not cross on the other side. He came where he was. He was willing to take the necessary steps to be a help. If we're going to minister to others, we have to put ourselves in a position where we can. A lot of people never put themselves in that position for whatever reason. Everyone has their reasons. The priest and the Levite were not willing to invest the time necessary to help the man who had fallen victim to the thieves. The Samaritan was willing to take the time to be of assistance, to be of some support and help to this individual who had fallen among thieves. The priest and the Levite were not willing to use the resources that they had to help this individual. Their attitude basically is, what is mine is mine. That's the attitude of many. My time is my time. My money is my money. My possessions are mine. What is mine is mine. And they were not willing to share anything. Their time, their resources, they were not willing to share anything with this individual who had fallen among thieves. But the Samaritan, we see, was willing, verse 34 and 35, was willing to share his resources. His attitude is, what is mine is yours. God gave it to me. And God gave it to me to use. So whatever is mine is yours. And this man made a difference in this man's life that had fallen among thieves. Even what you and I might consider to be little acts of ministering can make a lifetime of difference. Jude verse 22. And some have compassion, making a difference. This Samaritan made a difference in this man's life. He took time. He took of his resources. And he helped this man in a way that he needed it. And in so doing, he made a difference in this man's life. In order to minister, one must be willing to use what God has given them. So we cannot... We need to always look at whatever we have, not as our own, but what God has loaned us, lent us, for His service. In 1 John 3 and verse 17, "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up the bowels of compassion, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion, the heart of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Now this is concerning a brother. Matthew 5, verse 44, we see we're to have the same spirit toward our enemies. Even our enemies, we are to look at them as an opportunity to minister. How can I minister to them? Even our enemies, our neighbors. That is how we're to look at our neighbors. God has put me here. How can I minister to them? What can I do to serve them? What can I do to make a difference in their life? You see, it's not a matter of what we have. It is a matter of willingness to use what we have. It's a matter of willingness. Now, the foundation of ministry is love. We've spent several weeks in looking at the relationship of church is love. That is, we are to love one another. Love is the greatest motivator to action. True love. True love will motivate you to act. Those who always want to be served rather than serve, they know nothing of love to others. They know a lot about self-love, but they know nothing about love to others. But love is a great motivator to action. For example, the realization and the awareness that God loves us. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15. The very realization of Christ's love to us ought to compel us to do what? To serve Him. That's not our love to Him. It's just realizing He loves me. And that ought to compel us. Now, love serves as a great inspiration in life, both towards God and toward others. Our love to God is a stimulator. Our love to God is a force in life. I will not beg anyone to serve the Lord. If you do not love the Lord enough to serve Him, you'll never serve Him. Love is the motivator to serving the Lord. Again, the more that we love God, the more committed we are to Him. The problem isn't commitment or lack of commitment. The problem is a lack of love. The more we love Him, the more we surrender to Him. The real problem is not a lack of surrender. The real problem is a lack of love. Because if we love Him, it'll motivate us to surrender to Him. The more we love Him, the more willing we are to follow Him and to obey Him and to put Him first. Love will put others first. So the problem really is not that people fail to put God first. The problem is a lack of love. You get love right, and these things take care of themselves. The more we love God, the more we want to glorify Him, the more we want to honor Him, the more we want to please Him, the more we want to give to Him, the more we wish we had to give to Him. Now, the more we love God, the easier it is to serve Him. People, whether they realize it or not, say an awful lot about their spiritual condition when they go on and on and on and on about how hard it is to serve the Lord. Because that should not be so. 1 John 5, verses 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. When there is love, love is willing to do anything. And the commandments of God are not grievous. Also, this love to God will compel one toward ministering. John 21, 16, we'll not turn there, but remember, Jesus asked Peter, "Lovest thou me?" And then after He asked those questions three times, "Lovest thou me?" He said each time, "Feed my sheep." What is He saying? He's saying, "Peter, if you love me, minister to my sheep. If you love me, minister to my sheep." So love to God compels us to minister to others. If we have a problem ministering to others, it's because the root problem is a lack of love to God. Notice in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. Hebrews 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and then notice how they showed his love toward God, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. You have manifested love to God in the very fact that you have ministered and do continue to minister to the saints of God. So love to God's love for us is a motivator. Our love to God is a motivator to serve God. And our love to God is also a motivator to serve one another. And then we have what we've spoken the last few weeks, love to one another. Love to one another is also a great stimulator, a great motivator toward ministering. Notice in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Do not use it to sin. But by love, serve one another. Love is the foundation. By love, serve one another. And just like if we love God, His commandments are not grievous. If we love one another, it is not grievous to us to serve one another. In Genesis 29, verse 20. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days. Why? For the love he had to her. People say, thank you for doing such and such. And many times people will say, it was nothing. And they mean that. Because to them it was nothing. Because of love. It was no big deal. Because of love. He served for Rachel 7 years, but it only seemed a few days. Because of the love that he had to her. So our life ought to be a ministry. That brings us to ministry within the church. Again, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 5, Ephesians 4 verse 25, everyone members one of another. That speaks of our relationship within a body of Christ. Members one of another. That is a very close identification. That is a very close connection. That is a very close-knit relationship and bond that should exist between the members of a body of Christ. Members one of another. That means there ought to be common ground. That means that there is agreement. That means that there are deep feelings, members one of another. There are deep feelings of appreciation. There are deep feelings of love. There are deep feelings of compassion and commitment. Members one of another. That speaks of commitment. He's talking about a body of Christ. This isn't something that exists with those outside. This is a special relationship. Now, we have men and brothers and sisters in Christ that we fellowship with that are not in this body. And we can have appreciation for them and compassion, and we can minister to them. But the members that make up a particular body, There is a relationship that does not exist anywhere else. There is a privilege, an opportunity, and a responsibility that exists that does not exist anywhere else. Everyone members one of another. That means that we are to be of service to one another. That means we are to be useful to one another. Notice, again, the exhortation in Galatians 5:13 was, by love, serve one another. It's talking about church capacity. To be of service to one another, to work for one another, to be of use to each other, to perform for one another. Now, again, this is not, ministry is not limited to the body of which we are a member. But there is a special privilege. There is a special opportunity. There is a special responsibility within the body of Christ to minister to the saints. Notice Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. That is, as we have opportunity, and we ought to look for the opportunity. You can't just say, well, opportunity did not present itself. Maybe you did not look. We have to look. And again, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. That is, we're to minister unto them. But then notice, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Again, each local body is a household. This is, Home Baptist Church is a household. And we have a special responsibility one to another. Just, again, the family of God is all the saved. And yes, we do have some responsibilities to them, but not the same responsibilities we have to our household. When you set up your own household, you have a greater responsibility to those within your household than you do to the rest of the family. And there is something special in that household, or at least there should be, in that household that's not so for the rest of the family. This is true with churches. We can love and appreciate other brothers and sisters in Christ. We can minister to them. But especially, we're to do good unto those of the household of faith. There are several things necessary. We've already seen some of them. If we're going to minister to one another, we've already seen some, but we have to maintain a right relationship with the head of the household. The head of the household is Jesus Christ. And if we're going to minister to one another, we cannot get out of sorts with the head of the household. You get out of sorts with the head of the household, you're not going to do much ministering in the house. So if we're going to minister to one another, we have to maintain a right relationship with the head, Jesus Christ. We also have to realize in a household, everyone has responsibilities, everyone has a position. That's how a household functions. That's true in a church also. We have to realize that we are a part of the body, not the body. Just like an individual living in a household, when they get to thinking that they are the house rather than being a part, or they're everything rather than a part, you got a problem. You're going to have a problem in your household. That's true in church also. We have to realize that we are part of the body. And believe it or not, we are a very small part of the body. Believe it or not, the body can function without us. Now, one day I'm just going to leave that church and then they'll be sorry. No, they won't. You're not that important. No one is more important than the body. No one. We have to always realize that. Realizing that, we don't have a problem of thinking others better than ourselves, and therefore we don't have a problem ministering. We also have to maintain a right relationship with other members of the body. If we do not do that, you're not going to observe. You're not going to be aware. And you're not going to be willing and ready and zealous to minister. We read in 1 Corinthians 16 and 15 that they addicted themselves to the ministering of the saints. That ought to be our addiction. Life is a ministry. But there is a very special opportunity. There is a very special privilege that every one of us have to minister to others. There are so many different ways, which we'll spend the next few weeks looking at. There are so many different ways to minister. The Bible instructs us how to minister, what to do to minister to one another. But we all have a responsibility to each other. And we have a responsibility to minister. And we are not here and we have not been placed in this body to be ministered to. That's not to be our attitude. Our attitude is, what can I do? What can I do to minister? What can I do to help this brother? What can I do to help this sister? What can I do? Perhaps the only thing you can do, and it's no small matter, perhaps the only thing you can do is pray. Nothing wrong with that. Certainly that's one way of ministering, praying one for another. We're to do that again. Every member in this church ought to be prayed for every single day by every other member. That ought to just stand for reason. But there are so many different ways to minister. But we need to view our life as a ministry. And that's true wherever we are, whether it's work, whether it's our marriage, whether it's school, whether it's the neighborhood, wherever. What can I do to help? What can I do to make a difference in someone's life? Brother Tim, if you'd come and lead us in singing.